Ever wonder about the impact you have on others or the impact that they have on you? The Ripple Effect on Thrive Life TV explores just that. You'll understand how one person, one moment can transform your entire life. Discover stories of profound influence, mentorship, and life-altering connections. Join us to uncover the power of human interactions in shaping careers, relationships, and personal growth. Subscribe to Thrive Life TV today with a 7-day no-risk free trial and start understanding the ripples you create and receive in the journey of life. Your story of impact is just one click away. Go to thrivelifetv.com or search for us in the Google and Apple Play stores. We'll see you inside.
This next woman I have never met. But in doing research for this podcast, I have read her books, Making Room and Distraction Detox. She speaks around the country and is host of the Family Room podcast, which provides practical biblical guidance and challenging motivation for women who want to accomplish God's best in their faith, family, and friendships. Billie and her husband, Dave, a professional baseball coach, spend the baseball season on the road and off season in Southwest Florida. I cannot wait to introduce you to my next guest, Billie Jouse.
Welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine, the podcast that's all about helping high achievers like you thrive in life, relationships, and business. Hey there, I'm your host, Amy Wine, and each week I will be bringing you insights, inspiration, and practical strategies to help you live your best life. So whether you're looking to improve your relationships, grow your business, or find more meaning and purpose, you have come to the right place. With expert interviews, real life stories, and actionable advice, Couch Time with Amy Wine is the ultimate guide to personal growth and success. So grab your cup of coffee or a tea like me, get comfortable on that couch, and join me for real life, real relationships, real people. It is time to take your life to the next level, and I am here to help you every step of the way.
Billie, welcome to the couch, and I am excited to have this conversation. I can just tell you right now, just from pre-talk, like we had to start recording because I'm like, I could talk to you all day.
Thank you for having me here, and I love talking with you. So I know this interview is going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to help so many people. Yeah. And you just said God's going to outline what we're going to talk about. So I'm like, oh, I love that. Like, let's go. So yeah. I have a first question for you. I try to ask a different question every time, but lately I've been asking the same one because it gets so many good things. So what is something that has happened to you in the last weekish that has surprised you?
Crazy, but a few weeks ago, I was at the National Religious Broadcasters event in Orlando, Florida, and I was standing there waiting for the Expo Florida open, and this man walks up to me and he goes, hello. And I was like, hello. And he said, what are you doing at NRB? And I said, well, I also have a podcast. I'm here with the podcast group and my publishing house and just doing the thing. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I'm from Uganda. Went into the whole story of what he's doing. And, you know, sometimes when you hear people, oh, I'm from Uganda, I own an orphanage. It's like, yeah, you and 25 other people that just friended me on Instagram, right? So we're talking and he goes, I said, so how long are you in the United States? And he goes, I'm here for 2 more months. And next month I'm spending it in Naples, Florida. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. I go, that's where I live. So yes. Long story short, we had a quick conversation, kept bumping into him. And then today I had lunch with him and I was blown away at what God has done in and through this young man's life and the beautiful things that he's doing for the children in his village in Uganda and all that they are about, which is all about Jesus. So in those times that we have those surprise meetings with people, those accidental meetings, I call them God appointments. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how God puts people in your path that you're just like, wow, Lord, this is only you, you know? So the surprise that's happened this week was meeting with that young man today and just being blown away at what God's doing.
Mm. I love stories like that. I call them God appointments too. And then, yeah. Or like, sometimes you meet something or something happens. I'm like, oh, that was a God wink.
Yeah.
But I love those and I try to never miss them.
Yeah.
And
it's so easy to miss them, isn't it? Because you can think, oh, I'm never going to see this person again. I don't have time to talk to them. I don't want to spend time when I want to get in here and do what I need to do. I've got 20 things I need to do. I don't need to waste my time talking to someone, you know, in our busyness, hurriedness of life. Or we're thinking, well, I don't have any authority in that area, or I don't belong there, or what can I do for this man, or what can I say that would be helpful? And we stop ourselves when God gives us those opportunities.
Absolutely. And sometimes he just wants us to listen.
That's it.
If you don't know any of those things, just listen.
Just be present.
Absolutely. I don't even know how I got off on this topic, but we're going there. I was on an airplane yesterday. My flight got canceled the day before and I was kind of grumpy about it because I was like, I've been gone for 10 days traveling for work and I wanted to go home and see my puppies and my husband and my daughter's home for the summer. And I thought, well, I could be grumpy about it or I could just go to the spa. So I went to the spa.
I love it.
I mean, it wasn't a real hardship on me. I knew before I got to the airport. So it was all right. Then I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch the early flight home. And you know, when they call your name up to the counter, that's never good, right? Oh, my
puppy. Sometimes it's really good though. They could be upgrading you. Depends on if you're status or not.
I was already upgraded. So I knew where I was sitting, but it was a small plane too. So there was only like 4 seats up front. And I'm like, this cannot be good. Oh, so I go up there begrudgingly and the lady just has a smile on her face. And she's like, hey, we don't have breakfast today. Okay. I don't care. And she's like, so we're going to give you a $20. Voucher to go get breakfast. I was like, this has never happened to me before. I didn't know it was a thing. So, okay, I'll take it. But I had already eaten and I have a lot of food allergies. So I probably can't eat the food anyway. So I sit down, I look over, I'm reading this. I'm like, what am I going to do with this? It expires in 24 hours and I don't want it to go to waste. So I see this lady next to me and she just looks, she's a beautiful yellow, like just beautiful yellow, but it's not matching her outfit. Being bright and happy is not matching her.
Yeah.
So I go up to her and I'm like, hey, a little weird. And I'm like, have you eaten breakfast yet? And she's like, yes. I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, I was going to give you this voucher they just gave me for $20 to eat, but do you want to eat more? And she's like,
yes.
No.
Oh, no.
And she's like, no. And I said, okay, no worries. And I started to walk up. She goes, but I'm embarrassed to say, I just have my snacks and she has this big bag and she has like some chips and some things coming out of it. And she said, I have a layover in Houston. I'm going back home to Jamaica and I really don't have any money. I had to borrow money to get here. And if I could have that for lunch, that would be great. I'm getting chills right now. I was like, awesome. Of course you can have that. And probably what else do you need?
Like, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
So she doesn't want to talk to me much more and you could kind of tell, but I give it to her. She's like, oh, thank you. She got a little tear. I get on the plane. I go about my business. I get on the plane. I'm sitting there and they're loading, loading, loading. And then all of a sudden I see her again and I'm sitting in the very front row and she's sweating a little bit and she's leaning against the thing and she's just waiting and she's just kind of got this. And I looked at her. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. I said, are you going to be sick or are you just that tired? She goes, I'm just that tired. I'm like, okay, is there anything I can do? And she's like, no. She stands there. I'm like, do you want to sit here? No, you've already done so much. And I was like, I've really done nothing. I gave you a voucher. So finally, I mean, she just looked terrible. So I got up and I was like, nope, sit here. Where's your seat? She's like 11B. And I get very claustrophobic. And I'm like, that is a window. I know it, but whatever, I'm moving for whatever reason. God is like, give her your seat. So I moved back to 11D. And next to me is a little boy traveling by himself. And I'm like, he's going to watch this lady hyperventilate. And I'm like, do you want to sit by the window? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Because I thought I got lucky. He's like, no.
No.
Oh, I sneak in and I'm like, it's a little bitty plane. So I'm like crunched in there. I opened the window. I was like, we have got to have looking out or something. This little boy does not want to talk to me, but I kind of make him a little bit. We talk about his dog and his name's Drew, which came in handy because we didn't speak the rest of the flight. But when we landed we were starting to land a couple hours later and he's trying to get like the puke bag out of the back of the thing. And I went, oh no.
Oh, no.
He's maybe 10. And I guess he needed a mom in the row because he started throwing up everywhere.
Oh, I was like, no.
Okay, now I know why I'm back here. You poor thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would have missed all that moment. And then the last part, and I kind of hijacked your podcast. So we're going to you next.
You're good, girl. I love stories.
I get my bag and I'm like rushing out of there because I want to go wash myself off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got him settled. And I somehow pass her on the way and I don't stop to say anything. So the lady from the front row that I gave my seat to, the voucher, and I pass her and I go into the bathroom and I'm in there washing. She comes in and she starts crying. And she says, I don't know who you are or why you're nice to me, but nobody's ever done things like that to me. And I just went to bury my daughter and she had to borrow money to get there to bury her.
What? Precious though. It's so precious that you leaned into that nudge from God to love on someone that you may never see again. And you had no idea what they were going through. Those are the things. We're talking about one book, but I have a book that's in editing right now. And that's what the book is all about. It's about loving others in unique situations. You know, where has God put us and who is he putting in front of us? Who is he asking us to love on? And it may be someone that you never dreamed you would ever step into the arena that they're in. You may not know their story ever again, but you're leaving God's fingerprints in those relationships. So to think that that woman had just gone to bury her daughter, she didn't tell you about it. She didn't want to share it with you, but you kept loving her anyway because you saw some distress in her. Isn't that what God commanded us to do? To love one another. Not just because we agree with each other and our lives are the same, or we live in the same neighborhood, or we go to the same church, but he called us to love one another. And he doesn't say who that other is. Who is that another? Everybody. Yeah.
Everybody. No, it is everybody. Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not, and I've told like my kids this, it's not my job to judge.
No.
It's my job to love.
That is
and
it.
And it's, I don't have to agree with it, but at the end of the day, I still have to love them. And it's God's job to judge them. And if I can pull myself back from that human nature a little bit and remind myself that, oh my gosh, things just break open and I love it. So you had on your, often, I guess I'll tell people when we podcast, like we send, like, these are the questions I'm really good at or the topics we're good at or whatever. And there is one that just stood out to me. And it was, what are you willing to give up to feel or be better? And how do you begin that? Where do you begin that? And that just spoke to me so much because, I haven't always been willing to do it. Even if I know it'll make me feel better, I know I have to give up, I have to get there. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, so in my first book, Making Room, I talked about all those external distractions, those things on the external that we, you know, in this realm, I'm going to answer this question in two books because this
I love it.
I don't write a book if I haven't already gone through the process of it. Like, I'm not writing a book because somebody says it sounds like a good idea. I'm writing it because God has pulled me through, sometimes kicking and screaming, to get me into a deeper relationship with him. And so in that first book, I talked a lot about those external things. What do we need to give up to move forward, to move into a deeper relationship with God? And that was a lot of that time on my phone, time on the internet, you know, whatever it is, all those external things that eat us up. And then once I got all that under control, in my mind under control. My schedule was a lot lighter. You know, I'd gotten a kid out of high school. All my kids were gone. I had all this time on my hands. I thought everything is going to be so much better because I figured it out. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that I wasn't reaching the potential that God had called me to reach, loving others, serving, reading my Bible, praying, whatever it may be, because something was standing in the way. And that's when I figured out that it was emotional toxins that were standing in my way. So having those two groupings of internal and external, when I'm going into a situation and I'm looking at it like, how can I realize God's best in my life? And I'm not talking major success or, you know, 10,000 followers or whatever it is, big goal like that. I'm just talking about spiritually in my life to realize God's best. Who is that one person he's putting in front of me that he wants me to talk to? Who, what is it that God has laid in front of me saying, wow, this is an opportunity for you to serve me or glorify me? When we're looking at it in that sense of if our ultimate goal is to glorify God in all that we say, all that we do, all that we are, what are the things standing in the way of that? And are we willing to give it up? Are we willing to give up our phone after dinner to spend time with our spouse or our kids? Are we willing to not show up at a ball game for our kids because we have a girlfriend that is in desperate need of some girl time? You know, a marriage difficulty, another friend difficulty, doubting her faith, whatever it is. Is it that comfort of a little bit of fear, that nagging fear in us, that it's our comfort zone, so we're not going to go to the back of the plane and mm-hmm. be claustrophobic like you just talked about?
Yeah.
What is it that is holding us back? And what are we willing to give up? Are we willing to give up that fear to allow a woman that we have no idea what her story is to sit in the front of the plane, and we go back to a smaller seat with less legroom and feeling a little claustrophobic because God gave us a nudge to?
Yeah.
And those are the things that I ask myself often. Am I willing right. to give that up?
And there's days, embarrassingly, I would say, I probably would have ignored that. Like,
oh, 100. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we ignore it because, mm-hmm. you know, it was like I was home a couple of weeks ago and I came home late on a Saturday and going to bed. I'm like, oh God, I'm so tired. But if I wake up before 8:30, I'm going to go to the 10 o'clock service in the morning. And I wake up at 8:05 and I'm like, yeah, Lord, but I'm a little tired. I think I'm just going to watch it online.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, is that a sin? Is that a horrible thing? No. But if I'm really looking for God's best, realizing God's best in my life, when God gives you a nudge, when you make that bargaining chip with God that I should never do, but I do it.
I do.
If I make that bargaining chip, I need to listen to that small, still voice going, hey, mm-hmm. you're awake. It's time to go to church. And I love my church, love my church family. Sometimes a little tired on Sunday morning when I come in late on Saturday night from a flight from wherever I am, you know, and it's those are the things. Am I willing to give up my comfort of laying in bed and watching a service mm-hmm. to go to church because God nudged me to? Because who knows, maybe I missed an opportunity that the Lord was laying in front of me. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're never going to stop God from doing what it is he wants to do and how he wants to do it. You're not going to stop him from doing it, but you may miss out on a blessing.
Yeah, I don't want to
do that. You may miss out on a blessing for yourself. You may miss out on a blessing for another human being to see God at work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not see it anywhere else. Nobody's ever been that nice to me, like that woman told you.
Yeah.
When we're able to step in front of that, what are we willing to give up? You told that story and now thinking about what are you willing to give up? When we were with the Pittsburgh Pirates, professional baseball, 36 years, we were with the Pirates for 9 years. We had faith night at the ballpark and we'd have 15 to 17,000 people staying for faith night. It wow. was amazing. And it was usually after a game, either extra innings, rain delay, something on a Thursday night. It wasn't like it was a Sunday afternoon, you know, type of thing. So we'd have all these people staying for it. And I would lead a Q&A with the wives and ask about, you know, what they were learning in Bible study, that we did Bible study together and all of that. And it was this one night, we had about 15 to 17,000 people there. It was a great night. It was powerful. Like we stayed for an hour and a half after just talking to people, talking about Jesus, just telling them about our faith, all of that. The next day I go to the ballpark. It's a Friday afternoon. It's a blackout night, which means everybody's wearing black. It is crazy during those nights. Uh-huh. And I go to my normal gate with my normal attendance and the gate's backed up. People didn't know you couldn't bring this in or that in. And I'm getting frustrated. I'm trying to get in. I'm meeting some people that we gave tickets to. I'm supposed to meet them at a certain time. I'm trying to rush in. I am frustrated at this point. Mm-hmm. I throw my phone in the bucket. I run through the thing. I grab my phone. And I was just, my last nerve was about to explode because of, right. You know, I was,
yeah, I would be, yeah,
I was inconvenienced. And as I looked up at the kid that was handing me the phone, he wasn't normally at my gate. And I said, thank you so much. Have a great night. It seems really crazy. And he goes, yeah, it is. And I turn around to leave and I hear Mrs. Jouse. And I'm like, who calls me Mrs. Jouse? So I turn around and it's this young man that had had my phone. And I thought, did I leave something? And I had my phone. Nothing else was in there. And he goes, I just wanted to say to you what a wonderful night it was last night. I wasn't supposed to work the event. And they asked for volunteers. So I volunteered. And it's the first time I've ever heard about Jesus like that. And so I stayed and I talked with someone about how to give my life to Jesus.
Wow.
Now let's rewind. If we could take a movie and, you know, rewind it, you know, how back in the day on the VCR, we could go and back it out. If we could back up me walking up to that gate, frustrated, throw my phone in the bin. What if I had sounded off to somebody, popped off to somebody, been negative to somebody, been rude? Would that kid have thought of Jesus in the same way? Because at that point, his only view of Jesus really was the people on the field sharing their faith. I could have ruined that young man's view of what Christians were if I had been pompous and, oh my gosh, can I just get through the side gate? Do you know who I am? Which I never do. But it happens at times that wives do that. You know, they get
absolutely
little kids. They're like, I'm just going to throw my name out there so I can get in quicker. What if I had done that? And that young man, it was like, what was I willing to give up? I was willing to give up my frustration, my rushing. Mm-hmm. To stop and look him in the eye and say, thank you so much. I hope your night goes better. You know, it's a crazy night, whatever. Yeah.
I love that story because I get frustrated in those situations too. And just, you're right though, thinking about like, if you had been rude or mouthing off or something, he would have been like, but this is the same person that was talking or, you know, about this last night.
Yeah, what happened to that nice lady on the field that was talking about her love for Jesus and her love for people and how she loves to disciple others and tell others about him and how to live life for him? And then I would act ugly. And I'm not saying, girl, let me tell you, I am not perfect. I have had some popping off moments. I have.
Yes.
But when the Lord nudges you to be kind, which he did when I was going through there, when I was grabbing my phone, it was like the Lord said, smile. And I'm like, I always smile when I'm going to try out, you know.
Yeah.
But I did. I took that nudge. So what was I willing to give up? I was willing to give up my frustration, my quick turnaround of getting into the stadium. I was willing to give up my frustrations to be able to represent Jesus in a way that honors him and not my pride. So when we talk about what are we willing to give up, what are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up that parking space to somebody? Are you willing to give up that lane that somebody's pulling into with no blinker on? Are you willing to stop and pause for a minute to just have one act of kindness towards another soul? Are you willing to give up that shame that you've carried all these years that Jesus never asked you to carry? What are you willing to give up?
Yeah, that one's a tough one. I wrestled with that for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're right. He didn't ask me to carry it. Like, he didn't ask me to carry it. And mine stemmed from childhood emotional and sexual abuse in my home. And I carried that until probably, I mean, I would say even just a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I've done a ton of work on that. But that shame of the little girl who has that happen, right? And hard things happen. It sticks with you, even though I know that it wasn't my fault, logically, that I didn't have a part in that, that I didn't ask for that. So I really have no shame to bear.
Yeah.
Still had it. So that's amazing. So when you talk about emotional toxins, I'm going to change it on you a little bit.
Yeah.
So what do you call emotional toxins? Define that for me, and then talk about identifying and releasing them.
Yeah, emotional toxins. So what happened was, after I wrote that first book about the external distractions, when I got my life together and everything was great and I was just going to love Jesus and do all the things, I went into a really, you know, and I say dark place, I was not depressed. And I always say to people, if you're in a dark place, please go get counseling. I am all for counseling. My book is not a book created by a counselor. It is an experience of what I've gone through and how I tackled it. But I got to a place that I knew I was not reaching my potential of where God desired me to be. And so what happened was, I got into this negative place, you know, where everything's just a negative thought, negative thought, negative thought. And I'm like, what is going on? So I'm all about lists. I'm a list maker girl. And so I got a notebook and I'm like, I'm just going to write down every negative thought I'm having, every time something comes up in my head that takes me away from doing what I know God's calling me to do, I'm going to write it down. So I gave myself 7 days, Sunday to Sunday. And I wrote down everything in a notebook without even looking at it. I just kept writing. I doubled up on things, whatever. I just kept writing them down. That next Sunday, in a quiet time in my house, I opened up that notebook and I started looking through all the negative things I had thought that week. I realized in that moment that I am my biggest bully. No one on earth talks to me that way. Now, I had emotional abuse in my childhood. I've been really good in my teen years through adulthood, that if people talk to me negatively, I stop being around them. I put very good boundaries up against them. However, I was allowing myself to say stuff that was worse than many things I had ever heard. I was my biggest bully. I would never say those things to my kids. I would never say those things to my husband or my best friend or a stranger. I would never say those things to them. And I just looked at them. And when I saw what a big bully I was, I thought, this is poison in my spirit. And that's how I define emotional toxins. Are these are the things within your spirit that are poisoning you. They're toxins. And you said that you have food allergies. Me too. I have a bunch of food sensitivities allergies. I've got two kids with food allergies. Anytime we find a new thing, or in the beginning when we found out what we were allergic to, we had to detox from those things, right? We had to clean them out of our system. First, I had to take them out of the cabinet and throw them away. I had to identify what they were first, right? What are the foods that are bothering me? Same thing with an emotional toxin. What are the emotional toxins? I tell people, make a list. Start making a list. Just once you have it written down, doesn't it sort of become more real? It's like, whoa. Like, I've been thinking that for years and I never think about thinking about that. So many thoughts go through our heads that we don't even remember that we said it to ourselves in that split second. When we write it down, when we identify it, then we're able to look at it. And then I encourage people, take one of those at a time. Now, one of the things I figured out when I was going through this process, it is a process in a sense. When I started going through the process, I was like, well, I've got, you know, let's say 100 thoughts I wrote down. I don't remember what the number was, but let's say it was 100. Well, wow, look at that. There are about 30 of those are in the category of fear. Like, I'm fearing something, be that comparison or, you know, whatever, lack of confidence. I'm afraid to be overconfident. I'm afraid to be underconfident. I'm, you know, whatever those fears were. The second one was unbelief or doubt. What is it that I'm doubting in my life? I'm doubting God. I'm doubting myself. What are those things? And then that third category was what we just talked about, shame and guilt. Those two go together. You really usually don't have guilt without shame and shame without guilt. So that was that third category. So when I put all of those thoughts into those three categories, it was surprising how well they fit and how one was usually a little bigger than another at times. Now, mm-hmm. I can shift some days. Some days I'm full of doubt. Some days I'm not fearing anything. I'm just full of doubt. Oh, I'm not worth that. I don't have the authority to do that. I don't, whatever. You know, sometimes I just go a day thinking, God, I'm a horrible mother. I screamed at my kid when he was 12 and I'm a horrible mother. My son's mm-hmm. 32. You know, it's like yeah. that was 20 years ago, you know, yeah. those types of things. So then once we have identified them and put them into those categories, I do take people through an evaluation of them. How do they make you feel? Mm-hmm. What are you getting out of it? Why are you holding on to it? If you can remember where it came from or what the base of it is, just to identify it and to look at it, like you're talking about that shame of being abused as a child. I have shame because of words that were spoken over me as a child. Mm-hmm. I had no control over them. So when I evaluate them, I had no control over them. Mm-hmm. That was pretty evil that they were said to me and took my innocence of my mind away.
Right. You
know, because we can also be sexually abused with words when we're mm-hmm. over hyper-sexualized with words when we're young. It can cause some pretty severe, you know, reactions in you know, young adulthood into adulthood. So whatever those things are, and I'm not comparing, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying one's worse than the other. I'm just saying whatever right. the experience is that we're having, mm-hmm. there's a reason behind it. Sometimes we can remember it, sometimes we can't. This is where the counseling comes in really good. If you can't dig into it, or it brings up some really horrible things, seek yeah. counseling. But if we can go through that evaluation time of, yep, I remember when my mom said that really horrible thing to me when I was about 8 years old, and I'm still living with shame about that, even though I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I didn't know what she was talking about, you know, whatever it was. It's like, those are the things that we need to evaluate. Well, now, wow, I was a kid. That's not my shame to carry. I shouldn't still be holding on to that. Now, how am I going to overcome that? And that's when, once we've evaluated, and I tell people, take one at a time, just one yeah. category at a time. Don't take the whole list of 200, 300, whatever you're doing, and put it into, I need to take care of each and every one of these today. Take it one at a time. Small step. Yeah. You know, the Lord rejoices in those small beginnings. Take small steps. And you take them one at a time. And what I do is I encourage people to find scripture that speaks into you. What is it? What scripture is it that speaks into whatever that emotional toxin is? For fear, I have one on my wall. I have stuff on my wall everywhere. But one for fear is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We have His power. We are filled with His love. Now we have to have the self-control to stop that thought when it first starts. So yes. as we're going into that termination phase, unfortunately, we'll probably never be clear of all the negative thinking there is, because we have an enemy that wants to put negative thoughts in our head. We have mean yeah. people around us that want to say negative things, you know, whatever it is. But what I want people to do is create a habit that when that negative thought comes up, whatever category it's in, you have a scripture at the ready that you could go to immediately before you allow that thought to take you spiraling down and down and down to where God never intended you to be.
Wow, I love that. Yeah, stop it and replace it with the scripture. Yeah, exactly. I love that. So what is a spiritual detox? Because when I see that, I'm like, what do you mean we're having a spiritual detox? Aren't we supposed to be filling up with the spiritual?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
This exactly what I was just talking about earlier about what are we willing to give up?
Okay. I was wondering if that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. When we go into a spiritual detox, a lot of times we've filled our spirit. We got God's word in there a little bit. We got some prayers in there a little bit. We got a little bit here, a little bit there. But if we're filling our spirit with all this negative thinking, these negative words we're speaking, these, you know, negative identities, these negative values, feeling like we have no purpose, whatever it may be, if we filled our spirit with that, we got to clean that stuff out. Yeah. So because if that stuff is clogging up our spirit, we're not allowing God to take us to where it is he desires us to be. We're not allowing him to do in our lives and through our lives what it is that he wants to do the immeasurably more of. Mm-hmm. So we have to make a decision that we're going to do a spiritual detox. And I take that detox and go through the five steps of the detox, which is to determine the distraction. What is the emotional toxin? Evaluate, terminate, and then outline a plan and execute a plan. So in that spiritual detox, we're cleaning out the bad, replacing with the good, and stepping out in faith.
Oh, I love that framework too, because that just adds on to what you had just talked about. And now they can be like, okay, write the word detox down and let's go. You've got your five steps. So another thing that you talk about in your books a lot is busy. And I'm a big fan of that. So I know that myself and a lot of women especially will stay busy, busy, busy to avoid dealing with their junk. I am the queen of that in the past. So talk to me a little bit about busy, because I think we had COVID and we all had to stop and we're like, what is this? We don't know what to do with this, right? And then we got used to it.
But what did we do though? I don't know about you, but there were Zoom classes and Zoom meetings. And we filled our time.
I still was busy.
I was busy. I mean, if I told my husband, I go, if I take on one more Zoom meeting, so right. social time, it's like I'm socialed out. Get me out of it. Turn off the internet. Do something. So
I know
we are so engineered to be busy. And as women, our busy may be a little different than a man's busy. My husband's busy is watching games, evaluating games, baseball. For many years, my busy was my kids. It was volunteering at school. It was volunteering for the baseball team to cook cookies. It was volunteering to take the wrestling team up to New Hampshire when we were living in Boston. It was all the things that I could do to volunteer.
Yeah, well, I did the same.
Yeah. At one point, my husband says to me, "You've got the right hand syndrome." I go, "What are you talking about?" Because every time someone says, "Can somebody bring cookies?" I'll do it. I raise my right hand. And so in this, during this time of craziness, I didn't really think about what it was that was making me do that. After writing my first book, I talked a lot about over-volunteering, schedule stuffers, all the things that we do that fill our time that we could be using to dig deeper in our faith. Mm-hmm. And so in that, Once I had taken that stuff out of my schedule, my kid was out of school. He was on a college baseball team, not on all the travel teams that we had had. I had all this time that I started filling up with other stuff. And when I went through this process of emotional toxins, what I realized was a lot of my busyness was to cover up my emotional toxins. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I belong in that group, so I'm going to over-volunteer to show them I'm worthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't feel confident that I can lead something, so I'm going to spend my time. Oh, I can't do that right now because I'm so busy over here. Mm-hmm. When COVID happened, everybody was so afraid of sitting down and thinking about what they were thinking about. They filled their time, me included, with Zoom meetings and phone calls, and you know, my kids were all over the U.S. playing games on the internet with them as one big group. You know, whatever it was, we were filling our time, so we didn't have to think about what we were thinking about. And that's when I was digging deep into this, because I realized how much of a cover up busy was to my thoughts.
If you're looking for even more support and guidance on your personal growth journey, in your marriage, or even in your business, then I invite you to check out the Thrive Life Collective app. Our holistic approach rooted in research, science, and scripture can help you strengthen your life, relationships, and business one step at a time. Plus, our Thrive Today feature provides a daily motivation and encouragement in just 3 to 5 minutes a day. So why wait? Sign up for the Thrive Life Collective app today in Apple and Google app stores, and let's continue growing together.
Yeah, I spent, I don't even know, a decade plus there. And I finally, I was getting awards. I was at an awards or a PTO thing when my kids were in elementary. I didn't realize it was an award thing. I just was going to go because it was a volunteer appreciation breakfast or whatever. I was like, all right, let's go. I'm up there all the time. And I got an award. I may have it. I don't know where it is right now, but I have a little pin for 3,000 in 1 year.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's more than a full-time, double-time job. And I was like, huh.
That's a lot.
That hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
And then they gave me one that the previous year I'd had 500. And I was like, huh, how did I go from that to that? And I kind of said that. I was like, I don't even know how I did that many hours. And I don't, that doesn't make sense. Somebody added wrong. They're like, no, because you have to track it in their system or whatever. So every day I go put it in. I'm like, think about it. And they said, oh, well, you just didn't track most of your days. And I was like, oh, what am I doing? And that's on top of 3 kids, 2 with special needs and another job.
And it's not that that is bad. That's what I tell people all the time. It's like what you're doing, volunteering at a school, that is awesome. But is that God's best?
It wasn't. It was actually keeping me from that.
Exactly. Is that what God's calling you to be your best? And if it is, then go get it, girl. I am all about it. But so many times we outdo ourselves to outrun our thoughts.
Yeah. And I was. And then I actually put myself into counseling again.
Yeah.
Because I was like thrown by it so much of what am I doing?
Yeah.
And I'm not happy. So that one hit me too. And the counselor asked me one question and it really actually brought me to my knees and changed everything at the same time. And he said, what brings you joy? I couldn't answer it.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Not one thing, nothing, not even simple thing like a bubble bath, like nothing. It took me 6 weeks to answer that question.
Yeah.
And life changing. And I actually went and I went the total opposite. And I pulled out of everything, the women's groups, ministries I was leading, the volunteer at the school, everything, because I felt led to do that. And then another whammy hit me. I lost all my friends.
Yeah.
I had friends getting mad at me. How can you do this to me? I'm not doing it to you. I'm telling you, I am cratering and I'm falling apart.
Yeah.
And I,
for me, not against you. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to do this. I have to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend a year doing that. And I'm not saying yes to anything right now, unless I learned one question. And I'll tell this one because that's so good. And I'm glad I learned it. I wish I'd known it before. I started asking my kids, is it important to you if I read to your class? Is it important to you if I'm on the yearbook committee? Is it important to you if I'm at field day with you? And I've asked that way. My kids are in their 20s now, and I still ask that question. I asked it of my daughter. I wanted to go to some event, a personal development event in April, and it was mom's weekend at my daughter's college.
Yeah.
But this is not like a huge thing like the fall one where the football games
are. Right.
And I really wanted to go to this other event. And I called her, and I was really kind of hoping, like, say no. But I'm like, is it important to you if I'm there? And she's like, well, you don't have to. It's 8 hours away. It's not really that big a deal. It's only a couple hours. And she's like, but yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, I'll be there. Because the other event was not important more than my daughter ever. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. But
I learned to ask that question.
Yeah.
That's and a good one. I came out of that with 1.5 friends out of, before that, I would have said probably 50. I could just name right here or there. I came out of that season and that year with 1.5. And I'll say the half because I couldn't trust her further than I could throw her, but I still liked her.
I was talking about the book I've just written that's in with the editors now that's coming out in the spring. one of the things I talk about are the four connections that we have with people. And when we realize what those four connections are, it frees us up to realize those 50 people that you were friends with, quote unquote friends with, were really not those friends that were going to last forever with you anyway. You know, those four types of connections, be it somebody in passing, I call them accidental acquaintances. You know, the next one's a social circle. Those 50 were your social circle. You know, your accidental acquaintances and social circle are the larger number of groups. Accidental acquaintances, you see people every day that you just run into for 5 minutes, or your social circle, you might go to Bible study with or volunteer with in some charity or at school or things like that. But when you start realizing those kindred spirits and then your forever family, that number decreases tremendously between social circle and kindred spirit.
Absolutely.
And then that number from kindred spirit to forever family, and I'm not talking blood family. I'm talking those people that are there for you when you don't even know you need them. You know, I sent a text to friends the other night because I was really frustrated. I've done this quiz I'll tell you guys about, but I've done this quiz online. It's called What's Your Distraction Action? What's the action you need to take against a distraction? And so I'm working on it about a week ago and I hit a wall and I'm like, I'm going to quit writing. I never want to speak again. I know I'm not going to do the podcast again. I'm done. I'm going off social media. I'm done. Uh-huh. And in my mind, I was joking.
Right.
But my two best girlfriends are like on the phone immediately. Are you okay? What's going on? What is going on? Why? What? You sound down.
What's under there?
Yeah. And I started crying. Because I didn't realize how much pressure I'd put on myself for this thing to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And as we know, not everything is perfect. Sometimes you just got to do what God's asking you to do and put it out there. And I know it's not bad, but I know it's not going to be perfect. So those are my forever family. Those are the ones that they read a text that I sent out as a quote unquote joke. Mm-hmm. And they know that my spirit is down and they call me. And they both called basically at the same time. So I could only answer one, text the other one, hang up from the one, go to the other, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones where if I put that online, like, oh, I'm just so frustrated, I'm never going to write again. You know, sometimes you get people going, you go, girl, you get it. That's great. I'm glad you came to that decision. Those people don't know you well. I mean, I'd never put that on because I don't mean it, but.
Right.
That is a frustrating point, but that's those forever family. So when we get to that point of thinking about what we're thinking about, giving ourselves time, that's putting a priority. Here goes my North Carolina accent from 100 years ago. That puts a priority on God's best rather than our needs or wants or cover-ups or running or trying to outrun. Because sometimes, even though we sit around and say, I just want to know what my purpose is in life, most of the time, we really don't want to dig that deep.
Amen.
We don't
That's my season.
We don't want to dig that deep into who we are.
Yeah.
Who are you? Well, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a writer, I'm a speaker, I'm a podcast host. I do all these. No. Who are you?
Right.
And
that's the season I'm coming out of.
Yeah. And that's also really hard when you have emotional toxins, because I want to say I'm a bad wife. I'm a bad, terrible friend. I need to love Jesus more. And sometimes I just don't. I need to read my Bible more. So I go into the negative thing rather than I'm a child of God. I do my best every day to glorify him. Mm-hmm. I ask him, Lord, what is it what you want me to do for you today? And I actually listen. So once we get those emotional toxins out, that's when we can start hearing God's nudge, his small whispers. That's when our trust in him builds. And that's when we can take that step of faith out.
Wow. It's so powerful. And I love hearing you say it. I mean, I just went through that season. And in January, actually, I didn't realize I was living with so much fear still. I would have said, oh my God, I've done so much work. And when you help people as a therapist, like you have to know yourself very well or else you mess them up. And I refuse to be that counselor.
I've had a few of those counselors, by the way. Go
ahead. Yeah, I understand. There's some of them just make me mad. I'm like, sister, like we got to talk. But I refuse. So I have like overlearned and I have like 40 or 50 certifications, like high overachiever over here. But at the same time, when I sold the counseling center, that was kind of my baby too. I mean, it had just grown to be so big, but I had already known God was calling me somewhere else. So he had been exiting me for that business for 2 years. I think everybody else was shocked.
Yeah.
Because it happened like in 30 days, right?
Yeah.
Like it was start to finish. But that had been for us and the person that bought it, it wasn't that fast. It had been 2 years.
Right.
So, and for me not to have a breakdown, I mean, even people closer to me, not my best friends, but like people in the next circle or even some of my family were like, oh, she's going to have a mental breakdown or she's going to cry. And I was like, I got nothing because I know what God's calling me to do. I know my purpose. I know why I went through everything as a childhood. Because if I didn't, I could not sit here and help people in the way I am. But then I hit January and I'm like, something's holding me back from coming out from behind the scenes. And it's not that I haven't done it before. I've had online courses. I speak on stages. Right. I've got a podcast. Like, what is going on? So I actually took some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat with God for 40 days and fasted for 40 days. And I didn't remember no new business. It was actually harder to do the no new business because I like to be busy when I,
yeah,
instead of thinking of me. But what I found was I still had so much thought process that was based in fear.
Yeah.
That was affecting my confidence and my, really what I was doing was arguing with God on not wanting to be seen.
Yeah.
And that all stems from childhood trauma.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That I had worked through. And then after I get 40 days, I extended it to Easter.
Wow.
And then at Easter, I was doing pretty good. I worked through it all. I released the fear. I was back to myself. I have all this extra time. And I'm like, I was seeing my one-on-one clients and I was busy because I was at spring training the entire time. Like I was gone. I was back to my busy self. And I just knew for 4 years, he's been downloading this program, this app, this thing over time. And it's very clear in every journal. And at Easter, right before Easter, I had some friends that I have really great friends right now. And they're like, we should go to Cabo on a girls' trip. And I'm like, I've been to Cabo. I've never really been on a girls' trip. Let's go. So it was the week after Easter. So I extended it again. And when I was in Cabo, I very clearly heard the Lord say, if you do not do what I'm asking you to do and step out for me, you're basically going to be in disobedience. Well, mm-hmm. Not basically, I was. And I was like, oh.
Delayed obedience is disobedience.
Absolutely. And
something you said earlier about this, just in this little conversation, is that many times when God is calling us into the space of glorifying him in a grander way, and I'm not talking greatness like money or fame or fortune, none of that. Just whatever that great thing is that God's calling you into in this season of your life, when he's calling you into it, the enemy is going to want to stop you.
Oh, yes, that's happened too. Lots of attacks.
And where does the enemy attack us? In our weak spot, in our spirit. He's going to bring up things from the past. He's going to attack our kids or our marriage. Absolutely. He's going to bring that shame back on us that wasn't even our shame to carry. He's going to make us feel guilty for things we did in the past that we really didn't do. Someone else did to us. So in those moments, I think one of those mindset changes that I've made from those emotional toxins is when I start getting this dark cloud over me. The other night, I let it get me a little much. It was out of frustration of perfection, and it was a fear of success and failure. If this succeeds, then I got to keep it going. If this fails and I'm terrible, I didn't do it well enough, it's not perfect. All of that, I had to stop and say, wow.
Yeah.
The enemy's really coming out dark tonight, boy. Mm-hmm. This is, wow, Lord, what are you going to do with this? Whose life is it? And this is where I go.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one life, Lord, that you're going to touch by this? That is worth every minute of my pain going through it. Because if there's one person that I can help take one step closer to Jesus, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'll go through that. If what it is that God is doing for me in my writing, in my speaking, in my podcasting, if the enemy's going to put me under attack, then I know God is going to use it in a powerful way. And it may only be one person, but I got you, girl. I got you back. I'll go through this to get this tool out for you to see Jesus clearer.
Mm. If people are watching on video, I'm like having a visible reaction to what you just said.
I'm so expressive. I'm sorry, you people watching on video. I'm such an expressive person.
Oh, no, I think it's wonderful. And I'm sitting here going, uh-oh. She said something just now that he has been saying to me. And you don't know this yet, but today, it's not day one from starting after Easter, but today is day one of me coming out from behind the scenes.
I love it.
For the videos, to do all of the things. Like, this is day one. I've been gone every week since February 14th, somewhere with clients or work or personal. And I just got home yesterday, and today is day one because I'm home for a month. Wow. So it's coming big. And the one thing he kept telling me in January and February was serve the one. I'm like, who's the one? Who's the one? And then I thought, serve the one, it's Jesus. I'm serving you. I'm serving you. You're the one. Okay, I don't have to do this. And it was like, no. And he's like, yeah, I'm the one. Serve me. But what I'm asking you to do is go serve the one.
Yeah.
One person.
One person.
At a time. Just one. Yeah. And if you have one, that's enough.
That's enough. One person, I say it a lot, one person at a time, one day at a time, one step at a time, you know. And in the detox thing, when I talk about outlining a plan and executing a plan, I've had a few people say, oh my gosh, aren't you just giving them one more thing to do? And I'm like, no, because we can make a plan. Let's just say outline the plan. I told you I'm a list maker.
I am too. I work a really good list.
I got to have a plan laid out, because if I don't have a plan laid out, if I don't have a target on a wall,
right,
I'm going to be throwing darts at the wall. I don't know if anybody's ever played darts before, and maybe it's a heathen thing for some people, but my kids used to love playing darts, and you know, we didn't know a whole lot about it and just play darts. But if I gave my kids darts without a dart board, my wall would have had way more holes in it than it actually did. If I had a target on the wall, my kids are about as competitive and perfectionist as my husband and I are. They're going to try to hit that bullseye every time. And it is going to frustrate them until they do. But it gives them a target to throw at. So in this detox, if we're not outlining a plan, if we're not putting that target up on the wall, the darts are just going to fly and they're really not going to hit anything. We need that target. We need that plan. We need that one person, one thing, one day, one step, just one. And once you have that target up and outlining the plan, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this scripture and I'm going to read it 10 times today, because I know that I am in this place of fear and I've been in it for a long time and I just need to get out of it. This scripture is going to be what I target today. This is it all day long. Every time I have a thought come up, I'm going to have it. I have things on index cards, on Stick-It notes. I have a little spiral notebook that I write it in. I carry scripture with me at all times, on my mirror, on my refrigerator, on my computer, on my wall, wherever it is, so that's what I'm focused on. That's what I'm going to do. And then executing the plan, we can put a target up on a wall all day long and hold those darts, but until we throw them,
not happening. Not going to happen.
So you got to get up and throw the darts. You know, I call people when they're like, oh, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to move in my life. I'm like, oh, you're a potato chip Christian. You sit on your couch eating chips going, oh, Jesus, move in and through my life, Lord. Oh, Lord, do what you will in me and through my life. But you never get up off the couch. Girl, get up off that couch. Take those chips with you, because there is no chip left behind in my life.
Absolutely.
Take the chips with you and go out and do something. Do not just sit there, because sometimes the Lord does not light the whole path.
He just
the next step with one little light on it. You're okay, Lord, I'm going to step a little farther than that light, because I know you are going to take me where you want me to be. I know you are going to put that person in front of me that needs to be loved on today. I know you are going to open the door to an opportunity I never dreamed of would happen. I know you are going to give me the opportunity to tell someone more about you, whatever it is. And it's just the next small step.
I love this. I feel like we could be like sisters separated at birth or something.
Yes!
I work a good list. I got scripture everywhere. I have sticky notes. You should see my wall over here with my calendar and my to-do and my action. And just this morning, I had put all my goals. I had to lay them out to get to this day. And I had used ClickUp project management software, and it has a goals plate. So I have like a computer screen here. I got one over here. I got computers everywhere. But yeah. I'm just in this little bitty room. Like it's like 6x8 too. So I'm going to smash in here. But it, on this big screen over here this morning, I pulled that up and it has little targets. And it tells you exactly how many things in it I've got to throw at it.
Love it.
So I love that analogy. I was like, I have to keep this up in front of me or I'll forget day to day what I'm doing. So,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because your mind goes in different directions and you've got different things going on. I can be really good going, oh yeah, I got to do this, and this. You know, let's say that I'm trying to prioritize my day and making sure that I don't get caught up in the negative thinking and I don't want to move forward where God's calling me. And I could have it all in my mind. And then my kid calls and goes, hey, Ma, I lost my credit card and I don't know what to do. Or, I mean, my kids are older now. They don't do that to me anymore. But when they were in college, you know, whatever. I lost my phone on the subway in New York City. And it's like, oh, my gosh, were you not supposed to be at class at 11 this morning? Why is your phone on the subway? You know, whatever it is. But if we don't have those things written down in front of us or laid out in some sort of an outline of what our plan is, we're going to forget it because life happens.
Absolutely.
You're going to get darts thrown at you at times that are going to put you back into fear or doubt or shame or guilt. And you're going to get stuck there again if you don't have an outline, a plan to carry you forward, prioritizing what it is that you need to do. And I'm not saying doing that we need to do anything for our salvation or our faith. We could sit around and do nothing. But do you want to miss out on that blessing that the Lord's calling you into?
Not at all. And I'm actually, as I feared it, and I've released that, I'm really excited. And I'm going to say this because I had a mentor of mine 2 years ago when I told them about my app idea. And it's a streaming app. It's not, it'll be on your phone, but it's a streaming app. Life, relationships, business, experts in physical, mental, social, spiritual, business, marriage, all the things in one place. And it's not just me. It's a whole collective of experts. And when I took this idea to a mentor of mine who has an app that's very popular, it has like 500,000 people using it right now.
Yeah.
And I adore him. And he says, I love your idea. Do you know you're building a media company? And I said, I'm doing personal development, mental health, and I'm going to add the spiritual. I've been working on this for 2 years. And he's like, you're still building a media company. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I just ignored it. And I sat with that for a couple of days. And I was like, I'm going to sit on this idea a lot longer. It's been 2 years since that day. I'll be 2 years almost to the date in July, in just a couple weeks. And I was like, I don't know how to build a media company. What the heck? So now that I've gotten back into it, and at that time, I had another app. I was starting another app, and I've done another app since then. And I actually put it on pause because like, this isn't right. This isn't what God was asking me.
Yeah. Yep.
He asked me to do a streaming app. I didn't even know that was a thing until I started looking into it. I'm like, this is a thing.
Yeah.
So I put that app on hold. I'm like, I know how to build a media company. And I'm going to tell you right now, I signed an app contract 2 weeks ago and I'm like, I still don't know how to build a media company.
Listen, it's the same thing with this quiz. Before my book came out, I wanted to do the quiz. Like I've been thinking about a quiz for a year, over a year. Year and a half by now. I've been thinking about doing a quiz. And every time I think about doing, I don't know how to do coding or what, you know, I don't know how to set it up. I don't know how to do the points. I don't know how to get my goal. to get people the action that they need to take to begin to overcome these emotional toxins. That's the goal in this quiz. Wow. And I'm not a web designer. I'm not a quiz maker. I'm old girl. I am tired of these learning curves. You know, I'm not older. I'm not in the yet, but I'm getting in the I'm old category. I'm in the old category. When I get to I'm probably going to be dead, but I'm in the old category. And I'm like, I do not have the brain space. I don't have the time, the energy. I travel so much with baseball and writing and speaking and seeing my kids that are all over the United States. And like, I can't do this. Did you hear all those negative things?
Yep.
Did you hear all that negative stuff? And so not too very long ago, the Lord laughed at me and put somebody in front of me that said, hey, have you ever thought about doing a quiz? I got an easy way for you to do it in the sense of you're going to have to learn the steps, but you can do it. I know you can do it. And easy, I don't know that she said easy in my mind. I took it as, oh, maybe this is the easy way to do it. Girl, it ain't easy.
No, quiz funnels are not easy.
Frustration with my girlfriends the other night when they thought I was jumping off a bridge, you know, mm-hmm. It was like, no, like jumping off a bridge of my career, not literally, but like jumping off a bridge of my career.
Yeah.
And I was like, Lord, what? You are funny. Like, why do you keep giving me these things, these tools, these opportunities to put in front of people when I can't do it? And he goes, oh, but yes, you can, because I will help you do it. You see, it's not all in our abilities, is it?
No, this is definitely not going to be.
No, if the Lord puts it in front of you that this is the target he wants you to hit, he's going to give you the darts.
He is. And I'll tell you, since I said yes that week in Cabo, I mean, I made a phone call before I left that week. And person after person after person, and I'm talking, I added them up this last weekend, probably 8 people have been put in my path.
Yeah.
That I had no business being in 2 rooms that I have been invited to.
Yeah.
I did not feel like I belonged. I don't even know how I got invited, but I didn't. Heck, I went. And people after people. So it's coming. But every day I wake up and say, okay, God, what are we doing today?
Exactly. And it's like this silly quiz. I say it's a silly quiz because it's turned out to be powerful. And it's helping people take that first step that, oh, I get it. It's only 15 questions.
Yeah.
But the response that I'm getting from it is powerful because there's a one that gets in touch and says there's a comment box underneath the quiz. And they're like, wow, this really helped me. Wow. This gave me focus. Wow. You let me see the target of what I need to attack. And it's not me. I'm not patting myself on the back. It's nothing I've done. This is just a tool that the Lord asked me to do. And I've delayed obedience for about 1.5 years. Now I'm being obedient in doing what God asked me to do and figuring it all out. I'm giving up my comfort and my lack of wanting to pursue new knowledge. And I love to learn. So it's not that. It's just the technology knowledge stuff. I'm like, can't somebody else do it?
Yeah, right.
Those are the things I'm willing to give up, my comfort. And not having to do those things. I want to sit in the hot tub and eat bonbons. Apparently, I'm not getting to do that. That is not on God's list.
Mm-mm. I'm like, I read a lot. Like, Lord, can I just read and write?
Yes.
And maybe teach. Like, I don't want to build a media company.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, Amy, once it's going and I can afford to put the people in place, all I'm going to do is, guess what? Read, write, and teach.
That's it.
And I was like,
yeah,
let's go. It's going to be a trip. Every time I think I'm going to end this podcast, I keep asking another question. Or like, we could probably go like for days and days.
Yeah. How many podcast episodes do you need? We might cannot. No.
I need to break this one up or something. We'll just keep going. I do want to have you back at some point. And I know like when you come to Houston, like maybe you come and we do it in person on the couch back here, the actual couch. That would be amazing.
I know. That'd be cool.
I'm like, if you come to Houston, like, have you?
I'm coming. I am coming to Houston.
As we end, I want to just thank you so much for being on here and opening it up and being real and I want you to tell people, I'm going to put everything in the show notes on how they find you, but I want you to tell people the names of your books, how to find you, and the name of your quiz. And then we'll also link it in the notes so they can all.
Yeah. The number one best place to find everything about me is on my website, and it's billyjauss.com, billyjauss.com. And that you can find my books, you can find my podcast, you can find the quiz is called Your Distraction Action Quiz. So it gives you the action to move forward. So this is, you know, everything. All my socials are on there. It's the easiest way to find me. But my name is so unique. Google it. It'll pop up. I'm on all the socials, more active sometimes than others. I am going to warn you, though, if you go on my social, don't think you're going to find some curated Instagram grid, because I take a lot of selfies with my husband because it creeps my kids out, and my baseball girls love it. And so I do a lot of selfies with him. There is a lot of baseball on there. It's often people are like, oh, you're the baseball lady. I'm like, it's not my job, but yes, I'm the baseball lady. My husband's in 36 years. All three of my boys work in baseball, two professionally, one college level. I'm never getting out of this game, so I may as well just be the baseball lady in people's eyes. So you will see a lot of baseball, but you will see a lot of how we're loving on others and the places that we go in a very diverse and unique communities, just building relationships and telling people about Jesus.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate you. I appreciate all that you do. So thank you so much.
You too, because it's powerful.
Thanks for tuning in to Couch Time. This is Amy Wine, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights that you can apply to your own life, relationships, and business. Remember, you're capable of achieving anything you set your mind to, and I believe in you. Keep showing up, keep taking action, and keep striving for greatness. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe. I would be forever grateful if you could please leave a rating and a review and share it with someone who you think could benefit from these conversations. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep living your life authentically and intentionally on purpose, and keep thriving in all areas of your life. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection, we're talking real change, real results. It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're gonna find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit thrivelifetv.com. And let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.